Special Report.
A special report on schooling's stagnation.
Teaching woes. Class struggle. Teachers are increasingly morose. Hanging on to the best of them is getting harder.
In a secondary school on the outskirts of Tallinn, the capital of Estonia, a pupil scrawls the solutions to mathematical equations on a whiteboard. His teacher, a young woman, stands at the back helping to guide the student and encouraging his peers to comment. In a chemistry lesson down the corridor, two students race to scribble out formulae for compounds while their classmates offer helpful critiques. Such cleverness is easy to find in Estonian classrooms. Its teenagers rate as the brainiest in Europe. In maths, the country's 15-year-olds post test scores that suggest they are roughly a year ahead of British children and 2 years ahead of American ones. Yet for all their success, Estonia's world-beating schools face a formidable long-term challenge. More than half of its teachers are 50 or over, compared with an EU average of 38%. Many will retire in the next 10 years, and just like less celebrated school systems, Estonia is finding it difficult to recruit and retain the youngsters it needs to replace them. One in three of its new teachers leaves the profession within 3 years. Roughly half are gone within five. In 2023, the National Chamber of Commerce warned that the country had trained only 13 physics teachers in 10 years. Nothing makes more difference to a child's schooling than the quality of their teachers. One American study concludes that children taught by the top 25% of staff make twice as much progress as those taught by the least effective quarter. All the more reason to worry that, in a large swathe of rich countries, the profession looks bedraggled. A recent study in Europe concluded that 38 out of 43 education systems report staffing problems of one sort or another. Teachers in Greece and Italy are not quite as old as those in Estonia, but they are not very far behind. England's government has missed its targets for recruitment onto teacher training courses for most of the last decade. A brief bump in applications during the pandemic has given way to trends that are even worse than before. Last year, the number of people starting teacher training was 20% lower than in 2019. Training colleges snaffled only about half as many newbies as the government thinks are needed each year to keep secondary schools properly staffed. In America, attitudes to teaching are near a 50-year low, says Matthew Kraft at Brown University. The share of parents who tell pollsters that it would be a good career for their children has fallen by half since 2009 to 37% in 2022. The share of high schoolers who say that working in a school or university sounds desirable has fallen at about the same rate to 1 in 10. These gloomy sentiments affect real-world choices. Between 2006 and 2020, the number of people earning a license to teach in America's public schools declined by one-third. Teachers in America have sometimes cried wolf about morale in the profession, says David Steiner of Johns Hopkins University. Not so now. Problems recruiting and keeping educators rarely result in children going untaught, yet they force schools to make adjustments that harm learning in insidious ways. About one-fifth of classrooms in Estonia are led by someone without full teaching qualifications, twice the share in 2014. Among those under 30, about half had completed training in 2022, down from two-thirds in 2012. In Germany, shorthandedness is forcing some primary schools to reduce the time they devote to subjects such as English and music, says Raffaella Porsche of Otto von Guericke University in Magdeburg. In England, schools with staffing problems ask principals and deputies to spend more time in classrooms, which erodes how well schools are run. Limited competition for teaching jobs is holding down the quality of recruits. American teachers come disproportionately from the least selective universities. These institutions pump out about 13% of American graduates, but were providing more than a quarter of new educators before the COVID-19 pandemic. Elite universities mint one-fifth of all graduates, but were producing only about 7% of new teachers. Expanding the pool of applicants would eventually push up grades. Research suggests that people who take up teaching during recessions, when other industries shed staff, get better results over their careers than people who sign up when times are good. All this hits school systems in their soft spots. Supply is tightest for educators who can teach sciences, maths and computing, exactly the skills governments are counting on to keep their economies competitive. The challenges are felt most acutely in rural and inner city schools with lots of disadvantaged pupils. In a tight market, good teachers can cherry-pick the best jobs. Most of them prefer comfortable suburban gigs. What lies at the root of these challenges? Uncompetitive salaries take much of the blame. Across rich countries, teachers earn about 10% less than the average for people with tertiary education, according to the OECD. In lots of places, the gap is widening. In real terms, teachers in England earned 12% less in 2022 than in 2010, while wages for roughly comparable graduates were about the same. In America, real wages for teachers declined about 6% over a similar period. They earn 26% less than other similarly educated professionals, reckons the Economic Policy Institute, a think tank, though that gap narrows once benefits are included. This pay penalty is up from 6% in 1996. It is one of the largest such gaps in the world. But money is only part of the problem. In interviews around Tallinn, teachers describe a profession that is growing more difficult. The country has made big efforts to keep children with special needs in mainstream classrooms, but teachers say they do not have enough training to make that a success. Parents have grown more inclined to pick fights with staff. Pupils are more willing to settle for middling grades, says one teacher, perhaps because society is more comfortable than it once was. Another says that kids who increasingly spend break times playing on their mobiles struggle to concentrate when they return to class. It doesn't help that careers in education are so linear. Brent Madden of Arizona State University notes that the 3,000th day in teaching looks a lot like the first. That has two unfortunate consequences. From day one, newbies are asked to perform most of the same tasks as veterans. Plonked alone in classrooms, many burn out fast. Meanwhile, old hands who are capable of giving more and earning more find few opportunities to flourish. That is not an environment that attracts the very ambitious or hangs on to high flyers. The worry is that teaching will continue to lose luster. Here again, growing disparities between teaching and other jobs compound the problem. For years, modest wages had not discouraged female applicants as much as they had put off men. That is at least in part because women tend to earn less in all walks of life, so the wage penalty they suffer is lower than for male colleagues. Yet this is changing as discrimination and other obstacles that hold back women's wages recede. School systems that have up to now relied on a captive labour pool of underpaid females are going to keep finding it ever harder to compete. The COVID-19 pandemic has also made teaching look worse as an option. Teachers have long accepted that they cannot have much flexibility in their schedules, but that used to be true for other workers as well. In England in 2018, some 16% of graduates similar in age and gender to teachers told pollsters they worked mainly from home. By 2023, that had soared to 46%, compared with only 1 to 2% of teachers. Today's challenges have precedent, argues Dr. Kraft. In America, morale in the profession was in as bad a shape in the 1970s, he reckons. Pay rises, among other changes, helped it pull out of that slump. This time around, the answer does not have to be simply spending more money. Americans tend to believe that salaries are abysmal rather than merely underwhelming. So publicity campaigns that aim to correct the worst misconceptions could yet have a positive effect. Serious fundamental reforms probably would do a lot of good, but they will be much more difficult to enact, in part because they go against decades of orthodoxy about class size and instruction. The present angst over recruitment and retention belies the fact that class sizes in rich countries generally have shrunk over time. America is an extreme example. On a per-student basis, almost twice as many adults worked in its schools in 2020 as did so in the 1970s, and staff hiring continued apace during the pandemic. Marguerite Rosa, a school finance expert at Georgetown University, writes that a preoccupation with adding staff has distracted school reformers from experimenting with other big bets that might bring more bang for the buck, such as lengthening school days or terms. Moreover, adding bodies may hold down teachers' salaries. Analysts at the OECD found that teachers' wages tend to be lower in countries with smaller classes. They concluded that across the rich world, increasing class size by one pupil is associated with a $1,300 bump in annual teacher pay. Many high-performing systems choose to nurture fewer better-paid teachers rather than maintain an army of mediocre ones. Japan easily bests America in international tests, for example, even though its typical secondary school classroom contains an additional 10 kids. There also may be more efficient and creative ways to deploy the teachers schools already have. In Arizona, Dr. Madden is helping schools explore alternatives to the one teacher per classroom model of education. In a primary school, for example, he imagines giving teams of teachers responsibility for whole-year groups rather than each getting 20 to 30 kids. Sometimes this team would offer lessons that look very conventional. At other times, they might shuffle pupils into groupings that are much larger or smaller than usual as best fits the task in hand. Teaching teams would pair senior educators with new ones and with various specialists, each earning a salary that accords with their role. The resulting crews would look a bit more like the teams of professionals who dole out care in hospitals. The idea is that all this could help make teachers feel less isolated at work, provide them with a wider range of career paths, and make sure every pupil gets some access to the best teachers. It would also make classrooms more dynamic. That will prove ever more important as they adapt to a new challenge facing teachers and students alike: how best to make use of artificial intelligence.